Our reading this morning is Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in fat sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There we are. We're looking at Psalm 51 this morning. And this psalm of David is commonly known as a psalm of repentance. David penned these words at a time when it was the lowest point in his life. He had sinned with Bathsheba and had even ordered the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And he attempted to cover up this sin, and he thought nobody had seen it. David had thought that he had really gotten away with it. But actually, the truth is, God saw it. God knew what was going on. So God sent the prophet Nathan to visit David. And Nathan confronted him and regarding his sin. And at that time then, David's heart was pricked. And he, at that time, desired repentance. He realized he needed to repent of all the wrongs that he had done. And I want to remind you that David was a man after God's own heart. Samuel, God speaking to Samuel, said this. It's quoted in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. He was a man who had been handpicked by God to reign on the throne of Israel. He was well favored by God, and yet he was susceptible to sin. This psalm in no way advocates that we can sin and get away with it. But there is a comfort in these verses. David was a man who walked with God, and yet he missed the mark. But his failure was not final. There is hope for forgiveness and restoration for those who seek it. With the help of the Lord, I want to speak to you this morning about the thought that how sinners can be restored. Perhaps there are those among us here today who are following Christ at a distance because they've sinned against God. It has been said that if there ever was a point in your life that you felt further away from God, then you have backslidden. This psalm reveals the process of restoration for those who are not where they need to be with God. As David pours out his thoughts in this psalm, consider with me this, the awareness of the backslidden. Before the backslidden can ever be restored, they must be aware of their condition. Until we realize that we have fallen short of where God would have us, we will never seek restoration. This awareness is twofold. Notice, first of all, that it's the dependence, his dependence, David's dependence on God. Verse 1 says this. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my iniquity." David knew that he had sinned, and his only hope was to receive that mercy. He had pleaded with the Lord to have mercy instead of judgment, which he rightly deserved. Anyone who has backslidden must come to this realization. We are already aware of our sin, but we must also realize that our only hope is found in the mercy of God. He would be just and right to condemn us and leave us in our sin, but I'm glad to say that we serve a God who has mercy. Notice with me, too, that in this psalm that we find that there is David's desire. In verse 2, it reads, "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Now that David's sin was out in the open, he truly desired to be forgiven and cleansed of that sin. He was tired of bearing the burden of sin that sin had caused. No doubt there had been many miserable days for a man who was after God's own heart. There is a great truth that is revealed here in this text. Until we get tired of our sin and desire things to change, there will be no restoration. We must get to the place that we want to get rid of in our lives, the burden of our sin. Sadly, for many like David, that time doesn't come until that sin is made public. So in this process of restoration, consider with me also that David made an acknowledgement of his backslidden. Simply being aware of sin isn't enough. We must acknowledge that sin and seek restoration with God. A genuine acknowledgement of sin is often difficult. So consider this with me. The despair of sin. We find this in verse 3. It says, "For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me." This verse reveals a miserable man. He had confessed his sin before the Lord, as well as the fact that the sin was constantly in his mind. It was always in front of him. It made no difference what David did or where he went. His sin was always there. He never found any rest or any peace within himself because of this sin. Day after day, mercy and guilt remained. So many people today are in a miserable condition. Their sin may not have been discovered as of yet, but it's always there before them. The guilt and despair of sin never goes away. So is there a constant reminder to the child of God that they are separated from the Lord and his fellowship? There may be pleasure in sin for a moment, but the Christian is never happy living in sin. Consider also this, that David had the discernment of sin. Verse 4 reads, "Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." No doubt, David felt guilty of the consequences of his sin. He had committed adultery, devastated a home, and was even responsible for the death of an innocent man. But he knew that this sin was much deeper than that. It's much deeper than the devastation of those who were directly involved. David came to the realization that he had sinned against God. He was so overwhelmed with this that he declared that he had sinned against God and God alone. He was devastated that he had sinned against the one who had shown such favor and mercy on him. Many Christians become defensive and often bitter when they are engaged in a life of sin. They know that their sin is wrong, but they are adamant that their life is their life to live. Let me live my own life. The real misery in sin is not the physical or emotional effects, but the awareness that they have sinned against the Lord. When we consider all that Jesus endured for us and the love that was shown by the Godhead for undeserving sinners, it brings grief to our hearts. The believer has no right to live as he pleases. We are no longer our own. We have been bought with a price. We never sin in a vacuum. Our sin is always committed against our Lord, regardless of what it is. So can you imagine the heartbreak that the sin of believers brings on God and Jesus? In this process of restoration, also consider with me that there is the appeal of the backslidden. In the following verses, we find that David's earnest appeal to God concerning his sin. Once we become aware of our sin and acknowledge it, then we must deal with it according to what is God's plan. Notice what David desired from the Lord. David desired the removal of sin. In verse 7 and verse 9, David says this. He says, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquity." David desired that his sin be removed, that his life be cleansed of iniquity. He was tired of the filth and despair of sin and desired for it to be removed from his life. He knew that God was able to forgive his sin and blot it out. I'm sure that we've all been there at some point in our life. We have allowed sin to come in and feel dirty before the Lord because of it. God won't use a dirty vessel, and we need to confess our sin so that we can be cleansed. Isn't it good to know that we serve a merciful Savior who is willing to forgive and forget our sins? They are removed as far as the east is from the west and buried in the sea of God's his forgetfulness. David also points out this, that there is a restoration of joy. Verses 8 and 12 say, "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." David was no doubt filled with misery during this season of his life. He no longer experienced the joy of the Lord within his heart. He lacked fellowship with the Lord. He couldn't pray. He couldn't worship. He couldn't enjoy life at all like it had been before in his life. He lacked fellowship with the Lord. As his sin was revealed, it appears that it brought a sense of relief to David's heart. He wanted the sin removed so that his joy might be restored. Life for the believer cannot experience joy apart from the Lord. When sin is allowed to remain in our lives, fellowship with the Lord is broken. Like David, we won't be able to worship with joy. We won't be able to pray. We won't be able to live a life with joy. The Christian is never happy when sin is in his life. We might pretend outwardly that everything is well in our life, but deep down we are miserable because we lack the joy. In this process of restoration, there is also the renewal of a spirit. Verse 10 and 11 say this. It says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me out from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." David longed for the day when he would once again experience the presence of God in his life. He longed for this fellowship that they had prior to his sin. He wanted to have a heart filled with the presence and power of God, rather than one filled with the guilt and despair of sin. If you've been saved for quite some time, I'm sure you too have experienced this burden within your spirit. The believer is never happy and content when he is apart from God. We may seek to avoid the Lord and press on in our sin, but deep down we long to have our spirit renewed so that we might have fellowship with the Lord again. And this brings us to the return to service. Verses 13 to 15, David writes this. He says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." Apparently, it had been some time since David had a word with the Lord. His lips had been silent concerning God since his sin. He was no longer a living testimony to others. He was no longer being used by God. He desired to return to the field of service. Once a Christian experiences serving the Lord, nothing else will satisfy them. There is nothing about being in service to the Lord that will satisfy us. Nothing greater than that, than being in service to the Lord. Sin hinders our service and our witness. Jesus deserves our faithful devotion in service, and that is only through a clean life. So in closing, I want to say a word about this advancement of the backslidden. Notice verse 4 again. Verse 4 says, "Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." God stands ready to forgive, but we must confess our sin and return to Him. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20 reads, "The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And this verse in 1 John 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us, and will forgive our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness." If you are living at this moment in a distance far from God, from where you used to be, then the Lord wants to desire to restore you. Why not come as He leads? Why not come to God and restore that relationship that you once had with Him? You don't have to remain far from God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for these verses, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for David, who is whom you've chosen, and Lord, who you've done many great things through him. But as well, Lord, you've taught us how we can be restored, Lord, to you when we come out of our relationship with you and fall into the world, Lord. Lord, we know that there is a hope that we have. A hope of peace and tranquility and joy and love, Lord, with you when we return back to your love and walk in your ways, Lord. Help us, Lord, to every day keep our eyes focused on you, that we don't fall into temptations, Lord. But when we fall into temptation, Lord, help us to find a way out of that temptation, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. And through him we pray. Amen. Thanks.